This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! You're on the crazy train!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, good morning, and I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. Now you're looking forward to a new year. And so here we are. It's Saturday morning, and you know what this, if you got this station tuned in, then you know it's the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors coming to you every Saturday morning with a little hissing sound in the background again. anyway, we're coming to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. If you want to get together with us on the show, just give us a call at 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250 with any questions or comments or whatever. You can also email us at the Smokies inbox at ceoguys@yahoo.com. Good morning, Danny.
Morning, Tom.
Yeah, by the way, he's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sam is on the boards.
So anyway. I've come to the conclusion here that Saturday morning right now is kind of like the Monday morning of the station. You know how Mondays at most businesses or at whatever work, whatever job you have, I would think most people would agree that Monday morning tends to kind of, it's a bummer because it seems like everything's going to go wrong on Monday morning.
You know, and it's slower.
It's just you know, if you're going to spill your coffee on the way to work, it's just the Monday morning, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is the Monday morning now here at the station because you come in on Saturday morning and poor Sam back there, there's always something he's trying to get working. My headphone here
doesn't work.
Your computer over there
wasn't working.
Unplugged, not working.
It's working though.
This is like the Monday morning, and once we get everything straightened out here, or Sam does, then everything runs smooth for the rest of the week. But this just seems to be the rough time.
Yeah, that's true. And this is always that funny time, you know, between Christmas and New Year. And this, you know, Christmas fell on a weird day, you know, Wednesday in the middle of the week. You didn't have that long weekend, you know, people didn't have a long weekend or anything. It's just weird, you know. It's just
some people did.
Some people took off
and they taken off a couple days next week and they got 2 weeks off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, but a lot of people had to go back to work, you know.
Yeah, well, some people, you know, they had to go back to work,
Thursday and Friday,
which would be kind of a bummer. Who feels like working on Thursday and Friday?
Yeah, exactly. After you've spent the last 2 days doing whatever.
But I think a lot of businesses were kind of on a skeleton crew.
Yeah.
Things were
that very
pretty
well
quiet.
Might be. Yeah. Well, so, yeah, well, we had a really nice Christmas. Like I said, I always enjoy it with the kids. I mean, Christmas is for kids. The adults, hell, we get together during the year for dinners and whatever. That's not, you know, it's just another dinner for us, right? But it's important for the kids, especially when they're still believing, you know, in Santa Claus, when they still believe.
You got kids that still believe?
My grandkids.
See, my parents never even gave us the Santa Claus BS.
No?
Nah. No. They didn't, you know. So at age 5, I had to try and preach to the whole neighborhood that Santa Claus was a myth.
And all the parents hated you.
No, the other kids didn't believe me.
They didn't believe you.
Yeah, my neighbor across the street, Jimmy Whitney, not only did he believe in Santa Claus, he was a big believer in the Easter Bunny. Up until age 12.
No, really?
Yeah. I'd be trying to tell him, and he'd go,
he'd go, he'd say, he said, why would your parents want to give you all that stuff? Were his exact words.
Oh, that's funny.
I'd open my presents Christmas Eve because I knew where they were coming from.
Yeah.
Right? Mom and dad.
Sure.
And then I'd kind of share in my buddy's excitement because I'd look across the street and wait to see my buddy's bedroom light go on and their living room lights go on. And I knew that he was excitedly getting up, him and his sister, and opening their presents.
Yeah.
So I was kind of vicariously living his excitement in the morning, opening his presents. But really think about it now. Like, I got my .32 Winchester Special from my dad for Christmas at age 11.
Yeah.
Okay. So what would some families then, like, put from Santa Claus? As far as I know, Santa Claus doesn't have an FFL dealer license or anything. Wouldn't you think he'd get in trouble transporting? Today's world, Santa Claus would be locked up.
Yeah.
He'd violating too many gun laws.
Yeah, he would be.
Yep.
That damn Santa Claus.
He'd be in trouble.
Yeah, I have no clue. I don't remember when I stopped. I mean, I'm sure I did when I was a kid. I'm sure I did.
Well, probably.
And I don't remember.
Probably about the same time you started smoking, I'm guessing.
No.
Probably about age 7. You were a pretty wily kid.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a little bit, I guess. A little bit. So, got in a little bit of trouble, of course. You know, that's bound to happen, right, with kids, especially boys, going to get a little bit of trouble.
How about, did you believe in the tooth fairy?
To tell you the truth, I don't remember. I don't remember about the rabbits and whatever else
Easter
there
bunny?
Was. Easter bunnies, tooth fairies.
What was the Easter bunny supposed to bring you? Is it an Easter basket?
Easter basket with...
wait a second. Or does the Easter
jelly
bunny...
Jelly beans and chocolate-covered eggs.
I never liked jelly beans.
You know, all
that
stuff.
Why did they give you
stuff?
That crap that jelly beans? Ugh, never liked jelly beans. Wasn't the Easter bunny supposed to hide the eggs?
Yeah, and the basket, too.
The basket was from your parents, and then the bunny brought the eggs.
In our house, I remember the Easter bunny hid the basket with the stuff in it.
Yeah, but what's the fun in that? It's better to go off and find the individual eggs.
And then there were hidden eggs, too.
Oh, there were hidden eggs.
Yeah, with, like, jelly beans inside of those little plastic eggs.
Well, the plastic eggs.
Yeah.
But didn't they give the hard-boiled eggs, too?
Those were in the basket.
Oh, I know one thing I did with my mom that was cool as a kid. We would color eggs. Mm-hmm. You ever color eggs?
Yeah, I did them with my kids.
Sure. You'd hard-boil the eggs first, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you'd get the food coloring.
Yep.
And I remember doing them a pretty blue color and all that. Food coloring.
All kind of psychedelic colors.
Pretty cool. You know what else you can food color for fishing? I've seen it done. I did it myself years ago.
Bucktails.
Nope.
That you could, though.
Smelt.
Eh? Oh, yeah, sure.
Food colored smelt.
Yeah.
I saw
it. What color would you do them? Red?
I did red.
Yeah.
And I did a green. And I did a yellow.
Did it make a difference?
Didn't work. Didn't make a difference at all. But it sure as heck looked cool. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to try that again.
Yeah, why not?
I'm going to go get some smelt and start food coloring.
Well, we've always thought that goldfish would be a great musky bait.
I mean, how could that not work?
How could they resist it?
And, you know, I don't understand, Tom. They don't let us use goldfish up here, right? Invasive species. Yet, when I was down in Missouri, I stopped at this big bait shop.
Yeah.
No lie,
the
big giant, it's near, I think, Lake Stockton, Missouri. This is in like 1977. The big sign above it said, home of the master baiter, said at the bait shop. Funny ha-ha.
Right.
Some redneck Missouri place. And so I had to go into it. So I thought, well, there's a clever bait shop. I went in there, and I was amazed because they had these big tanks with all these giant, I guess, goldfish. But what do you call them? There's another name for them.
Oh, koi?
Koi, yeah. And they were all different colors, and they're huge. And you know what they use them for?
What?
Trot lines.
Oh,
yeah, I think
okay.
they use those for catfish for the trot lines down there. Now, why would they be legal to use down there and not up here? Last I checked, I don't think there's an infestation of koi and goldfish running amok.
Maybe because
in Missouri.
Those they would chop up for the trot lines.
I don't think so.
They wouldn't leave them whole.
I don't know. Maybe, what's the guy who's our cat fisherman would call us in? Maybe he's listening. What's his name?
Did it begin with an A? Alton?
I can't remember, but yeah, maybe he'd know. Or somebody from down there, but I don't think they'd cut him up. Now, here's the thing, too. Do you think a koi would live through a Wisconsin
winter?
I
don't know.
Don't you think they'd just die?
I don't know.
But some people put koi, like my buddy landscapes, and he'd put koi in like these little outdoor things in people's backyard and like their little fountain or whatever.
In Japan, it's a big thing, you know, the koi and in the northern island in Japan, that gets really cold. They get a lot of snow and ice and all that.
So maybe the koi would live.
So, yeah, why not? Yeah.
Well, so we don't want to use them as bait because they might.
And
next
for
thing
trout
you know,
line,
we got...
on trout lines, you generally, if it was a big fish, like if those were bigger koi, you know, I mean, they're not going to use a whole one. They're going to cut that up.
Catfish are big, man.
Yeah, but they're still going to cut it up.
Now, the koi weren't like carp size. They were only like, you know.
Oh.
Six, seven.
Oh!
Then
they use a whole one.
Yeah, they'd use a whole one.
Yeah.
Man, I think, think that would work, though?
Of course it would.
Now,
hey, let me ask you, the guy who ran this bait shop, was his name Virgil?
Virgil?
The reason I asked that is that one time I went down to Missouri, I had to pick up a boat.
Well, everybody's named Virgil.
And I swear
Virgil
to God.
Virgil and Bubba.
Hey, half of the male population in Missouri is named Bubba. Virgil. I mean, my wife and I were driving. We get off the interstate. We're driving down this road, and there's Virgil's drugstore, Virgil's gas station, Virgil's this. And then when we get
Virgil was mayor.
Hey, then
Virgil ran that town.
And then when we get to Bass Pro Shop, that's where we were headed. Bass Pro Shops.
Virgil's
you get to
Bass Pro Shop.
The guy to come up and greet us to give me my vote. His name was Virgil. I swear to God, it was. My wife and I laughed so hard. You know,
Virgil.
Virgil. Everybody's
how many Virgils?
Half of the state was Virgil. My goodness.
My brother Daryl and my other brother
Daryl.
Yeah,
exactly. It was one of those deals.
Yeah.
It was one of those.
I don't know. You know, speaking of bait, though, I've thought those, you know, big goldfish would work for pike and muskies.
Yeah.
Years ago, the neighbor lady out by Pewaukee, she liked to feed the birds, right? And she, first of all, I'll back up. I blame myself. I created a monster with the neighbor lady. Because I had the bunny rabbits in the middle of winter. Typically this time of year, there's 3-4 foot snowdrifts.
Yeah.
I would throw apples out for the bunny that lived underneath the deck by the lake. And I could get that bunny so trained that as soon as I opened the window and it would hear the window squeak, it would come running out from under the deck. So one time I showed my buddy's little 7-year-old daughter, watch this. And, the bunny.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The neighbor lady, right? I showed her me throwing an apple out and this bunny coming up. And she was like, I think she was enthralled.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, wonderful. Look at the bunny. And that became, so then she went crazy and started like, she'd be throwing garbage out onto the deck. There'd be bread, right?
Yeah.
Lettuce, all kinds of crap that rabbits don't eat, but rats do.
Oh,
and I'm trying to tell her, hey, lady, you can't just throw any garbage out there
and expect
Peter Cottontail to hop down the trail.
Right.
So
you're going to get a lot of seagulls crapping on your deck.
Well, this is where I'm leading to. So then winter became spring and spring became summer. So she continued this time by putting a bird feeder out there.
Oh,
right?
No.
And there's a tree there, and the birds were crapping all over the deck. And we didn't even get any good birds. We got the lousy sparrows and some starlings, and yet she's feeding those birds. Well, as a byproduct, it was kind of hanging over the edge of the water. So a lot of when the birds and squirrels were in there, they'd get all the seed would go into the water, about a foot of water. Well, that got all the bluegills. They were conditioned to come on up and start eating.
Okay.
And then throughout the summer, not only bluegills, but there'd be these big giant shiners down there. You could see them. And then in the fall, there were these baby carp that were hanging out there.
Really?
And they were about like,
I don't know, 8-10 inches.
Yeah.
Baby carp, and they got kind of a brownish kind of look to them, okay. You know, kind of like a goldfish. And I always thought, man, if I could net some of those, and can you imagine using those instead of a sucker on a quick strike rig for muskies? Because in the lake, that's what they're naturally feeding on. They're eating small carp. I think
and that orange color.
I think it would be killer. So I think next year I'm going to put a bird feeder out over the edge of the water, and I'm going to cultivate my little farm there.
And get some carp.
And in the fall, I'm going to get some carp, little carp to use.
Hey, why not?
My plan.
All
of course,
right,
we'll have
not?
Birds crapping all over the place, so maybe I shouldn't do it.
Well, let me know when you do it.
Baby carp is bait. If anybody's ever
there
used baby carp. Is bait.
799-1250. Let us know. We're going to go to a break right now. Sam, you ready for a break? Take us to it right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
We're hot. Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody. And, thanks for listening, and Tom, I'm real excited. I just went and got my cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And the package, I used a different kind. It had Starbucks label on it. It's called Cafe Verona or something like that. Yeah. So it's pretty good. Yeah. And now I'm excited. I got my Starbucks gift certificates. Now I know what kind of coffee I'm going to go get.
Oh.
I got to use those yet.
Hey, good news for our listeners today. You know, the All Canada show is going to be next week, January 3rd to the 5th. And I've got two sets of two tickets. So, you know, sometime during the show, I'll be giving away these free tickets. So two sets of two.
So it behooves people to listen.
Yeah, they better listen.
So when Tom says call and get free stuff, you got to call.
Yep. So we'll do those at different times during the show.
When you least expect it.
That's right. And
so don't go to the bathroom or anything except during commercial breaks because you don't want Tom giving those tickets away. Although you could always probably call from your cell from the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know, Dan, this is the time of the year. Well, coming up will be the time of the year when we're going to see new advertising. It usually starts around in January when all the national fishing shows start, because they're usually on from mid-January to mid-April, something like that. You know, I think it's a 13-week season. So we're going to start seeing new ads, and what they're going to be is it's going to be, let's say, a pro bass fisherman that last year was saying, ooh, this Joe Blow lure was the best darn crankbait I've ever used. You got to get some. Now, this year, you're going to see the same person, right? And he's going to be saying, ooh, this Lady Dynamic Whiz is the best darn crankbait you're going to find. You know, they're going to be switching. You just watch. You mark my words. They're going to be switching. You're going to see a lot of that
did
stuff.
Did you ever, you know, in your pro bass, pro TV career, did you ever get given some product to advertise and you had to get up there and say, I really catch a lot of bass on the double bended crotch rocket.
I had whoopee spoon.
Yeah,
I had a number of personal service contracts. That's what we would do then is personal service contracts.
Personal service contracts.
Yeah, and of course they sent you free stuff, you know, because you had to use their stuff and all that. But I never used something that I didn't believe in, and even if they weren't sponsoring me, I'd still keep using it. Here's the thing. Remember the Bottom Line electronics? Remember those? Bottom Line. Well, anyway,
was that when the early units first came out?
They would draw pictures of, you know, they would be little round fish.
Oh,
small
yeah, yeah.
Ones,
I had one of those.
Yeah.
I had a portable one that I could put on my little aluminum boat. In fact, I took it to Canada. You'd clamp it on and it ran on a couple of D batteries.
Yeah. Well, they had the big screen. They had the big screen one too, and all that. And I had a personal service contract with them, you know. And I had two of them on the boat, and I was fishing, it was on Pewaukee Lake, the Milwaukee chapter of Muskie Zinc Chapter Challenge or whatever. It's the one that they have in spring, the Muskie tournament in spring. And I'm fishing that, and I was with a guy from this outboard motor company, and we were in about 10, 12 feet of water, and I'm looking at my unit, and I said, boy, there's a lot of fish down there. Now, I had been with Bottom Line at that time for probably a good 7-8 months. I said, look at all those fish down there. So I walked to the back of the boat, looked down, because I could see down there, right?
Right.
There was nothing down there. There were some weeds, you know, but there was nothing there.
Did you have it in display mode?
No, 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 not in that part where they would, where you'd play a game, actually. Remember? They would have a game on it and all that. Well, anyway, so I said, well, wait a minute. That's not right. And it seemed like almost, no matter where we went in the lake, there were fish below us, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, there's no damn fish down. We were in 5 feet of water one time, and it's showing us fish.
And there were no fish.
No, there's no fish. So I called bottom line, and I said, hey, man, I talked to the director of marketing, sales,
right,
whatever.
Right, right.
And I said, this thing's showing me pictures of fish when there are no fish. And he says, well, yeah, it'll do that. He says, it'll show pictures of fish on air bubbles, on current, on leaves. I said, I can expect it on, like, leaves. I can expect it on air bubbles, but currents and stuff, I mean, just anything. Oh, yeah, sometimes it'll just show pictures of fish. And I says, well, maybe you ought to let people know that, you know, because that, I mean, that
or,
gives people a false sense
or
that
adjust
there's fish
the sensitivity
or
to
something.
Filter
I said,
that
there's got to be something that you can do about it. He says, no, it's a great sales tool. And I said, well, you can continue to use my name and likeness, but I'm sending you back these units. And
right.
and of course, they stopped paying me every month. So, there was one that even though I was getting paid to say how wonderful it was, I couldn't do that. I could
right.
not do that. And then there's stuff like, I mean, well, like Mini Mites. I don't get paid by Frank from Mini Mite. I don't get nothing from him. I mean, yeah, I get some free Mini Mites, you know.
Hat.
Because hats.
Got some nice hats.
Yeah, but the thing is that.
Thanks, Frank.
Yeah, Frank would, you know, I mean, we've known each other for many years, so, you know, he gives me some free Mini Mites. But, you know, the thing is I promote him, Danny, even though
right.
I don't get paid for it.
Well, here's the deal for our listeners out there. When I and Tom promote a bait mm-hmm. or a lure or anything, you can take it to the house that it's gospel, that it's working for us.
Yeah, that we actually use it.
Because we're not getting paid by
right.
these companies. So when I say, for example, the greatest jerk bait I discovered Door County was that Mega Bass Vision
yeah,
110.
Right, right, right.
In what's called the Elegy Bone Color.
Right.
Take it to the bank, man. I'm not getting paid by them. I'm
right.
telling you about a bait that
right.
was dynamite.
Right.
$25, but it's dynamite.
Yeah, it works.
When
yeah.
you tell people about the Mini Mites, take it to the bank.
They work.
They work.
I use them. And see, and that's just it. You know, I mean, granted, I realize that the bass fishing circuit, the pro circuit, the walleye circuit, and all those other ones, I mean, yeah, granted, it's a money-driven industry. The guys out there and gals are in it to make some money. But there has to be some integrity. Now, here's one thing I did back in, I think it was 1979 or 1980. I think it was 1980. Well, anyway, there was an ad in a magazine for a lure, and there was a picture of me holding a bass, a big one, and the caption said, you know, Tom Neubauer holding a 6-pound bass. Now, I didn't catch that bass on the lure that was in the ad.
Mm-hmm.
I caught it on a buzzbait, but it didn't say I caught it on the lure that was in the ad. So it was kind of a misdirection. No lying involved. Just a person would assume that, oh, he must have caught that bass on this lure, even though I didn't.
I've heard stories about certain big name musky guys who will remain nameless,
we don't want to get sued.
People, they'll have a picture holding a big musky, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll take a picture of themselves holding that same. What looks to be that same big musky wearing a different shirt or different hat.
Oh, yes.
And different,
yes.
So it looks like you take three different pictures
yep.
with three different outfits and you can claim I got three different giant
yep.
muskies and make yourself look even more like a hero.
I did that, okay, with different hats, different shirts by sponsors, you know, but I didn't want people to think it was different muskies or different bass or different anything, right? It was like for promo pictures for that particular product, okay?
Right.
So not I wasn't trying to fool people that I caught all these.
Well, I saw Ron
fish,
Johnson but, did that fishing yeah, with me.
Yeah. Just starts changing.
Switch hat, you know, here, take a picture with this, take a picture with this. It's all, yeah, I guess, marketing and so
it
forth.
It is. It is.
So yeah, I guess you're not necessarily saying you caught it, but you're wearing something while you're promoting.
Yeah. And they might put out an ad or they might put out a flyer or something showing you wearing their apparel holding a fish.
You know, the fanciest apparel that I will wear is the stuff that the good folks at Baitmate were nice enough to give me. I got this hoodie right here, right? This is a great fishing hoodie. Yeah. Baitmate hat, that got a little bit ragged. I tossed that. I'll ask them for a new one next year. Otherwise, I got my new Rocky Mount Elk Foundation oilskin hat here, which I love. But I don't normally go out trying to look like a walking billboard. I'm normally pretty much the guy wearing the flannel and the camo, not trying to look like I'm race car driver or somebody wearing all my neatly pressed shirts and pants and trying to look all professional. Now, I know a lot of the guys do have to. I mean,
well, they got to.
They got the truck. They got the boat.
Well,
it's all
when they're fishing the tournaments, they're wearing the shirts with all the names on it. That's because those companies are paying for
all
that
the
spot.
Patches
and
they're
stuff. Paying for that. Yeah. Hey, we
got to go to break.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna do this right now.
Well, what are we gonna do right now?
Yeah, you'll find out.
Come here! I'm gonna eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. You know, people like going out for fish fries on Friday. Then there's a lot of good places. You can even call us and tell us your favorite fish fry place, you know. And I really like the ones that are all you can eat. Of course, those are the best ones, right? But if they're serving potato pancakes, I really like those. Sometimes I like them over some of the other sides, potato. But, you know, you can make those potato pancakes at home when you're making fish at home. All you got to do is, let's say, have 4 medium potatoes. You can shred them or grate them any way you want. You get about a half to one finely chopped onion, quarter cup of flour, 3 large eggs, a little salt and pepper to taste. Put, you know, mash them together and fry them. That's all there is to it. They turn out wonderful. They're really good, and I don't see why they wouldn't be good for you. But yeah, oh, and you got it with the potato pancakes. What do you got to have with it? Applesauce. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Or maybe it's just me. Anyway, the Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you're going to find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow and Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com.
Rumors spreading around. United takes his time. About to check outside the game. You know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go.
This is a cool song, man.
Yeah, it is.
Oh my. Green. They got a lot of nice girls.
You know what they're talking about, don't you?
I don't always pay attention to it. About the girls?
Yeah.
I just like the song.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Thanks for hanging around the Grange with us today. And speaking of products, Tom.
Yeah.
I was saying, you know, like our listeners can take it to the bank when we're giving advice. I mentioned, was it last week? I mentioned I got that new trigger spring for my Mini 14. Now, that isn't in yet. I took it to a guy, and it's going to be a while because he's got so many firearms to work on, but they're going to replace the spring. Now, you can go online, and YouTube shows you how to do it. You take the trigger assembly out, and then they actually do test it after, and it lowers it down by a couple of pounds from like 6 pounds to 4 pounds. So once I get that back, I will take my Mini 14 out to the range and do some shooting at 100 and 200 yards and give you a report. It should help the accuracy. In fact, my Mini 14 shoots better than typically advertised. The Mini 14 kind of got a bad rap as not being as super accurate.
More of a close in, you know, close range type 100-yard or less firearm that you have thrown in the back of your pickup truck and you pull it out to take a pop at a coyote or whatever. But mine's pretty accurate, and I think this trigger will really help.
Can I interject real quick? Ken had wrote in last week,
right,
that he has that 22 and he wants to know how it works out. So Ken, we're just letting you know, a couple of weeks down the road, sometime in January.
But if you go, go online, you'll see them demonstrate how, and you'll end up ordering one, because for only $16, it's from that one place, something Carbo down in Florida. Ex-military guy runs a gun shop down there. And yeah, so I would say go ahead and get it, because it's going to work. Also, another suggestion I would give, many of our listeners out there probably own a Ruger 10/22. Now, the Ruger 10/22 is probably one of the best sold Rugers of all time. It's probably one of the most popular 22s in the U.S.
Yeah, and that's the one I have.
And it's one of the most frequently modified, because they got all kinds of trick parts. I mean, you can modify it where it looks like a mini, where it looks like an AK or something. You can and you can get rounds that go 10, 25 rounds. In fact, when they were talking all this assault weapon kind of ban stuff years ago, this is what got a lot of people up in arms about, is they thought, well, by your definition of an assault rifle, my Ruger 10/22 that I shoot squirrels with is going to be confiscated by the government because it's a, quote, assault rifle.
Yeah, because it can shoot 10 shots or 25.
So it's just, it's just a 22 for squirrel hunting. But I did order a new trigger. Now, some of the Ruger 10/22s had decent triggers from what I understand. Mine had a trigger pull. I got a Lyman trigger gauge, which cost me $80. But mine would break at about 5.5 to 6 pounds of pressure, which is a lot of pressure. You're trying to squeeze on a squirrel's head, and that's, you know, unless you got a rest, you're going to shake off the thing trying to squeeze that trigger off.
Mm-hmm.
So Timney triggers is a big aftermarket one for many, many firearms, Timney triggers. But Timney trigger offered a replacement trigger. You want to know how much that replacement trigger would cost for the Ruger rifle?
Yeah, what?
Yeah, about $200. It cost
as much as the rifle, yeah.
But Ruger came out with what they call it the BX-22 replacement trigger. They came out with it about, I don't know, a year and a half ago. And when I first tried to get one online, they were sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And for good reason. It's a drop-in replacement trigger assembly, the whole trigger assembly for your Ruger 10/22. And it breaks at around, I don't know, I haven't measured it since I got it put in mine, but it's a crisp, clean trigger. I'm thinking it's between 3 and 4 pounds. I haven't measured it, but I did measure it on some squirrels' heads this week, and it worked.
Yeah.
And you can get that replacement. And as an added bonus, the magazine release is improved as well, because it comes with a real nice kind of, I don't know how to describe it, kind of a lever that you can just push and easily pops out, as opposed to the current one where you got to kind of reach underneath there.
Yep.
So it's a great fix for your Ruger 10/22. Go out. I think you can get them for about $60. I'm sure Midwestern Shooter Supply. Get one of those. Drop it in there, and you'll make your squirrel hunting firearm even better.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. The squirrel hunting season will be all through January and part of February.
January 31st. Now, believe it or not, is the best time of year to go out and get yourself a giant fox squirrel. Because the big squirrels this time of year put on like a big winter coat,
mm-hmm.
and they get big and fat and sassy. Even if you notice like your neighborhood gray squirrels, they tend to get pretty plump and furry this time of year. And they get... The thing with the gray squirrels, they get those white tufts behind their ears this time of year.
Yep.
And it's kind of a winter thing. You don't see it earlier in the year. But now's the time to go, you know, if you want to get yourself a big one and get it mounted on a log. A couple of years ago, I went out one nice snowy morning and I snuck up. I sniped one big fox squirrel out of a tree. And then there was this one big giant oak tree with lots of holes and stuff, and I always thought there's got to be a giant squirrel living in there.
if not a family of raccoons. And I walked up there and just in the fresh snow, there's squirrel tracks going right to the tree.
Uh-oh.
And I circle the tree and there's no squirrel tracks leaving. So I thought, you know what? That sucker, he's up there. So I start circling the tree. And after a couple of minutes, I finally see a little tuft of hair. And I can see a squirrel's ear. And I put the scope up, and sure enough, that son of a gun is up there. So I had to do a trick. I read about it in a magazine, where if you're going to shoot vertically straight up, you lay flat on your back, bend your knees, and then take one leg and cross it over the other. And you can use that. You kind of use your knee and shin as a rifle rest.
Okay.
And the rifle goes straight back into your shoulder, so it's really pretty stable because you're not trying to hold the firearm horizontal.
Right, right.
Where you can start shaking.
Right, right.
And I drilled that baby, and that was a 2.5-pound fox squirrel.
Oh wow!
I haven't got one that big since my days back in Missouri, where my brother once got a 3-pounder down there.
Wow.
But someday I'd like to get, this sounds crazy, bucket list, someday I'd like to get a 3-pound fox squirrel and put it on a log. And I may have to take a trip down to Missouri. This sounds crazy, but I may actually plan a trip to go down and do a week of squirrel hunting down in the Ozarks.
Just to get that one big fox.
Just to get those big fox squirrels. I mean, there's some big ones in Wisconsin, too.
Yeah,
I missed a big one with the handgun years ago. Mm. Oh, man, it was a monster.
That's tough, though, with a handgun. You know,
well, one of my proudest moments with my Ruger handgun was when I shot a limit of 5 squirrels, mixture of grays and fox, up in Shawano County near Green Bay. So what do? I drive back to Green Bay and I go to my old girlfriend's house and I knock on her door. There I am wearing camo, and her mom never liked me. I guess I can kind of see why they weren't hunters. Anyway, I asked her to come on out in her front yard and take a picture of me with my 5 squirrels holding my pistol.
Yeah.
And I still have that old Polaroid today of me with the pistol and the squirrels. One of my proudest moments ever, getting 5 squirrels with that pistol.
Well, I had one proud moment with Ruger. It was the single 6, the 22 handgun. I hit a, and I have 2 brothers that verified it, because all they kept saying, I was just one lucky son of a gun, a rabbit at full run. I actually hit it.
You got it?
You know how fast they go.
Oh, yeah.
That baby, he was making it from a tree line to the swamp. He's running across, and it was my 3rd shot. And I actually,
rolled him?
Yep. We went into the swamp where his tracks showed where he went in, and about 3 feet into the swamp, there he was.
And your brother's going,
they're going, lucky son of a gun, you blah, blah, blah. You know, it was so funny, But, that was, I must admit, it was pretty lucky.
Well,
skill there.
I hit one on the run once with my open sighted 22 years ago. I jumped one. This is up in Brown County near where I lived in Green Bay. Had a great rabbit woods. And I jumped it, and it was running away from me. And I shot, and I grazed it. Mm-hmm. I just found a little blood, little drops of blood. But obviously it was a flesh wound.
Yeah.
So I was close to getting that thing. Now, my brother one time in Missouri, there was a pond between two woodlots. And there were always ducks on that pond. And he knew there'd probably be ducks there. He has a Marlin 39A 22.
Yeah.
So he folded the back sight down, so he'd just have the bead like a shotgun. And sure enough, he jumped the duck off the pond. It flew up. It was off flying. He drilled it. One shot with the 22, took it out of the air.
That's pretty good.
No, of course, it was highly illegal, and I don't think a duck season probably wasn't needed that. But he's a college kid.
Well, you've seen my...
And it was Missouri, so who cares?
You've seen my ability to shoot squirrels with a 22. Lacking, to say the least. Hey, we got to go to a break, folks. We'll be right back with more. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. And, of course, we got Sam on the boards with us today, as usual. We'll be right back.
Okay, what do we got?
Good old Cream.
What do we got, some jazz going here or something? What the heck is this?
Strange Brew.
Yeah, Tommy knows.
That Cream is, they were an awesome group.
I was never into Cream.
No, Ginger Baker, Eric Clapton, and Jack Bruce.
I wasn't into Eric Clapton either. Those seem to be kind of stoner.
Yeah, what
stoner
I couldn't
music.
Understand is that those three guys could make so much music. There was just three of them, you know, and they did so much with just those three. But anyway, we got the Hornswoggle.
Yeah, we got a contestant already on the Hornswoggle.
Dan from Fox Point knew it was coming up, so he called right away. We didn't get a chance to even announce it.
The early bird gets the Hornswoggle worm is what I always say.
Is Dan on the line? Oh, hi, Dan.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, happy new year.
Haven't talked to you in a while.
No, it's been several months. I have a hard time getting up now that I've retired.
Hey, yeah, I know. Hey, isn't that something?
I'll be joining you there at some point in a couple months myself. So here we go. We were just talking about squirrel hunting, Dan. So I'm going to go right along those lines. The fox squirrel, actually the biggest subspecies of fox squirrel is located in South America, and they refer to it as El Tigre.
I'm going to go Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle.
El Tigre.
They call the jaguar. The jaguar. I think it's El Tigre. It's E-L-T-I-G-R-E, I believe. I don't know how you pronounce it. I think it's El Tigre. Yeah. Yeah, that's how they, They don't like the El Tigres down there.
No, they'll kill you.
Jaguars. Well, yeah.
Kill you.
But a leopard, I think a leopard, an African leopard is worse. But, okay, so you're one for one. There is a gland beneath the armpit of a squirrel when you're cleaning it, fleshy kind of a gland that you want to cut out when you're cleaning your squirrel. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
No, I'm going to guess. I'm going to say no Hornswoggle.
That's a no Hornswoggle.
That's right.
It's kind of like it's a fatty kind of a... fatty kind of a thing. Now, when I clean the squirrels now, I've gotten lazy. I just keep the back legs now. They're just like chicken wings. And so let's see if you would have got the last one. The largest species of gray squirrel is the tuft-eared Salvadoran gray squirrel. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
Well, that's no Hornswoggle.
No, that's a Hornswoggle.
Oh, come on.
The old tufty-eared Salvadoran gray squirrel, I'll tell you. There ain't a tougher squirrel in the world.
I screwed that one up. I meant the other, and I said...
Okay, that's all right. All right.
Well, you do win the $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market out there in Menominee Falls, so right on the corner of Silver Spring and Pilgrim. So I hope you use it wisely.
And, so we'll put you on hold, Dan, and Sam will get your address information there.
Appreciate it.
All right.
All right.
Nice talking to you.
Yep. You too, guys.
Okay. Bye now.
Dan knows his squirrels there. I couldn't fool him.
That's right.
Can Hornswoggle. You got to get up pretty early in the morning to Hornswoggle old Dan in Fox Point.
I got to do this. This is important. The prize contests on the Cutting Edge Outdoors are the sole responsibility of the Cutting Edge Outdoors radio show and its sponsors. Any questions or comments should be directed to ceoguys@yahoo.com. And speaking of that, we will have that contest for the African Safari. That'll be coming up a little later.
Call.
Yeah, one of the guys will be calling us. And so we got that coming up. You know, Dan.
Yeah.
I got to bring this up.
Well, what'd I do?
No, you didn't do anything. Okay. But I've been keeping a watch a little bit to see what outdoor Wisconsin is like now.
Oh, being as you left it.
Yeah, I was on it for 30 years.
You were the fishing,
educator. Yeah. Okay. And the thing was is that, you know, when the show started, it was about fishing, hunting, nature, animals, things like that, you know, and it became very popular, you know, really popular. And over the years, though, they started trying to appease other groups. You know, they'd have skateboarding segments, dried flower arranging, you know, all kinds of weird stuff. You know, one time they had a segment on, I'm not making this up.
Okay.
You ever see walking sticks, those ones that are extendable? They're made out of, like, plastic, whatever. They're extendable for people of different height.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, the one person, they did a segment on walking through the Kettle Moraine with these walking sticks and walking with another person who had the walking sticks and was explaining how to use the walking sticks. The following week, they had the part two. That was how to walk through the Kettle Moraine without the walking sticks. They were freaking walking. So anyway, so I've been watching the show, and Outdoor Wisconsin is a night. You know what it is now? It's a travelogue show. And which is fine. I mean, it's done very well. The videography, audio, and everything. Dan Small is a great host.
Well, they got the other show, not to interrupt, the other show, which is Discover Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, that's been around a while.
And that kind of just shows you
it's
all
a travel
around the state.
Log.
It's kind of like it should be sponsored by the Wisconsin Bureau of Tourism.
Yeah, same thing with Outdoor
Wisconsin.
That's
what's happening?
Yeah, it's totally changed. Now, in the last, it's been a while. Anyway, Dan actually showed something this past week on hunting. It was how to clean a pheasant, how to get the breast meat and the legs and, you know, the thigh.
Okay.
I mean, otherwise it's all this other stuff that it's a, like I said, it's a nice travelogue show, but maybe they could just change the name instead of Outdoor Wisconsin to Travel Wisconsin. You know, I think that would be more apropos.
So here's my idea, Tom.
Okay.
Now, someone's going to listen to it and steal it now. But, you know, they got a lot of outdoor shows, fishing every species. They've got bird hunting. You'll see ducks. Larry Smith does a lot of bird hunting as well. John Gillespie, not so much.
No. Why does he have the woods even in the show, the name of the show?
I don't know. It just sounds good.
Anyway,
In pheasant hunting, you got rooster tails where they're out doing the pheasant hunting. And then you got the deer hunting ones.
Yeah, there's a lot of shows out there.
Yeah. My idea would be to have a small game show, basically where you're featuring small game hunts.
Go to different states and all that.
Yeah, for squirrels, for rabbits, for jackrabbits, for snowshoe hare, for varmint hunting if you're going to go shoot. You could even get into maybe some predator hunting as well.
Sure.
But the small game, and you know, it'd be pretty cool. You know, here's a Missouri hunt for squirrels.
Yeah.
Now we go down and go with the guys that use dogs and where they hunt them. You know what they call the gray squirrels down south? They call them cat squirrels.
Oh yeah.
Because they're so quick and agile.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as opposed to the more cumbersome fox squirrels, which are bigger and bulkier.
Yeah. Okay.
But you could I could get a GoPro camera nowadays, put it on the brim of my hat, and probably narrate as I stalk through the woods shooting squirrels with my 22.
You know, I gotta remember to tell you this.
And I'd call it
go ahead.
Bushy Tails.
Well, that would be a no-brainer. Wasn't that the name of
the
article?
Column years ago. Yeah, with Lake
Bushy Tails.
Country Reporter.
How could you not call it Bushy Tails, you know?
Yeah.
You'd have to.
Once I retire, all I got to do is get some big-name sponsors, maybe Ruger.
Yeah.
I'll travel the world and do my small game show.
There you go. Hey, last night I was channel surfing, and there was a show called Fish Attack. There was like a part 1, 2, and 3, Fish Attack. The one I remember, I mean, I didn't watch the whole thing. They're just going in and out. The guy's catching a blue marlin or something like that, some big marlin, right? And he's got a rod and reel, and he's fighting it, you know. And this thing is pretty good size. And the thing's jumping out of the water. It gets behind the back of the boat, which is a, you know, good-sized boat. And he's sitting in one of those chairs. The thing jumps out of the water towards the boat. Hits the side of the boat, you know, that big old long spear of a nose they have?
The bill.
Right in the guy's mouth. Oh, jeez. Was that terrible?
Yeah.
Those fish can be dangerous, I guess. Man.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go film doing that.
I don't think I want to do that.
I'm going to stick to shooting squirrels
with
the old
Ruger
there.
There you go.
Yeah, no fishing segments.
All right. Hey, folks, this is 1250 AM or 105.7 FM. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Stay tuned for the second hour of the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha ha ha! You're in the crazy train.
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
That's right, folks. This is the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Skipper Buds is where you go for any type of watercraft you might want. If you're looking for a $300 inflatable or a $3 million yacht, they got it for you at Skipper Buds. This is We come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. If you want to get a hold of us, just call us at 414-799-1250 or email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. And right now, Danny,
yep,
let's do the third person. All right, make them work
call,
a little
call
bit.
Call quick. 799-1250.
Yeah,
what are they gonna get?
They're gonna get two free tickets to the
All Canada show.
Yeah,
it's the All Canada
two
show.
Two free tickets and then All Canada
I haven't heard
show
those ads yet, but they normally have that little jingle.
Yep. Oh, yeah, it's on our show. Yeah,
it shows the geese flying over.
Yeah.
The TV ads. I see the ads on TV.
But, 799-1250. Oh, we got a lot of callers
already. Somebody from the Canada show?
Yeah, next week.
Yeah?
Next week,
who's
somebody.
Coming out?
I don't know.
What do you mean? We don't know.
Well,
come on, we
got to
know.
Well, that's because All Canada doesn't
know.
It's
your show, Tom. You got to know what's going. Who's coming in?
They don't know. Oh.
They can't just let anybody come in. I mean.
Well, they got to make up their mind who's going to call.
Oh, so they got to decide?
Yeah, they got to decide.
Oh, they're not coming in, they're calling.
They're just calling, yeah. They're going to call in, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, though I'm sure they don't want to travel over here and then have to travel back to State Fair Park and all that
Isn't
stuff.
Isn't it Jeff know? Normally calls us from?
No, it's, well, yeah, Jeff has from, wow.
From where Ron goes all the time,
the
on Eagle Lake.
Why can't we think of that right
now?
Oh,
it's such a bonehead right now. Brain fart here. But, yeah, he normally calls. They got a wonderful place up there. Talk to anybody wants information on it. Ron Heidenreich's the one. And my brother-in-law, Forrest, goes there. Every dog on, is it Temple Bay Lodge?
That's it. Thank
the Temple
you.
Bay? Okay, see.
Temple Bay.
I knew if I put a tracer into my cortex on that, eventually there would be a retrieval sometime.
Yeah. But,
yeah, so the All Canada show.
Yeah, but otherwise, that guy named Norm McCrate, they call him the Great
McCrate. The Great McCrate.
McCrate. Yeah, he'll call maybe. And over the years, they both have done it. So, yeah, we'll find out next week who's going to call, tell us all about the All Canada show. And, and I'm going to be giving away a couple more free tickets
today or next week.
No, today.
Oh,
because next week's the show. So, and I'm going to mail these out this morning if I don't forget, because I go right by that mailbox. Remember last week I said I go the mailbox.
Well, you got one addressed envelope there.
No. I got to put whoever's online. I got to put their address
for whoever there.
And then the other one I got here.
For what's his name?
You got the stamps on them. Yeah, got them.
Send that out to what's his face.
Yep. And, but the thing is, last week I said, I'm going to mail this because there's a post office.
And
right
you
over
forgot.
There and did not go into it.
What's going on, Tom?
So I mailed it on,
I
think it was
Monday. All
those
concussions you had as a kid, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's kind of affected you. So I'll tell you about my trip up to Sparta, Wisconsin.
Yeah, you went up to Sparta.
So my Christmas, Tom, was probably one of the greatest, bestest ever Christmases. I went up by myself and was by myself for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I didn't talk to anybody for Christmas. It was great. I was just out in the woods. I spent a lot of time walking. So I got up there the first day and I pulled out Betsy Lou, my Ruger 10/22 with the new trigger. And I thought I'd walk up the ridge and relive the moment where I walked up on that big buck last month and didn't pull the trigger in time. So I walked up the ridge, and I looked up there, and I thought, yeah, that's where he was standing. And then he bounded over the ridge, gone. So then I continued on up to the top of the ridge. And the one thing up there, Tom, is these deer up, when you go up on top of these mountain goat ridges in that country up there, they do not expect people to be on top of those ridges because it's so difficult to get up there.
Yeah.
In fact, one ridge I climb up is outright dangerous. I shouldn't be doing it at my age, but what the heck, if I fall and break my neck, it's probably a better way to go than a nursing home. So anyway,
sure enough, I knew I should be carrying my crossbow and not my 22, because I'm walking along the ridge. I look, and there's a deer's head. And I look, and there's a bedded down doe just laying there looking at me about 35 yards away. Had I had my crossbow, I could have tried to drill it right sure. in the neck. So I talked to it for a little bit. I said, hey, little dummy, why don't you get out of here? And then it stood up and looked at me, went bounding off. Couple days later, I was squirrel hunting, and I was on another part of the farm, though, there. And way up on top of a ridge, very top, and this is where it's dangerous to climb up to, these crows are going crazy and they're landing. So that tells me one thing.
There's something there.
Yeah, there's something there. So I made note to self that I'm going to have to climb up that goat trail and try and on my hands and knees get to the top and see, because I figure there might be a dead deer up there. So I, as fate may have it, the squirrels were out, but they were on top also. I could see them way up near the top of the ridge. So finally I thought after about half an hour, well, you got to go where they're at. So I climbed to the very top of the ridge, and I set myself on up against a tree, and I was shooting almost vertically straight up. I managed to roll two fox squirrels and a gray squirrel, and it's funny. I'd shoot them. They'd hit, and they'd roll down the ridge, and they'd land, and there's a little ledge where there's a deer trail. All three of the squirrels were laying next to each other on the deer trail when I went up. And so the new trigger was working great. And then when I did climb up there, there was a buck up on top there that the crows had been feeding on. The coyotes pretty much got most of it. Yeah. But I'm guessing a deer got hit during the gun season or bow season, went on top of that ridge and died. So it was kind of cool getting up there and just seeing it. What do you got there?
I don't know.
Why are you all preoccupied over there?
That's the address for the contestant winner.
This one down here. What's the other one?
I just had to rewrite it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And we've got a caller online. I'm sorry. I was getting a little confused.
Yep, we got Jim in Haworth, Illinois.
You look kind of befuddled over there.
Hey, Jim.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. You're calling from where?
From Haworth, Illinois. You guys wanted to talk about the All-Canada show this morning, so yay! I thought I'd call you and fill you in.
With the All-Canada show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, I did not know that. Okay. Well, we thought we were getting a call next week.
Well, we're glad to get a call this week.
I'm glad to get a call anytime.
Tom's happy.
So tell us all about it.
Well, this is the 37th year for the All Canada show. My goodness, I can't believe I've been going through it since I was a kid, and now I'm glad to be part of the show and love coming to Milwaukee. We had a great time there last year, and it's going to be a 3-day show. It's from January 3rd to the 5th. And all kinds of fun stuff going on at the Milwaukee County Sports Complex is where we're going to have it.
Oh, that's right. It's at the Sports Complex, State Fair, right?
It's fun. First thing I want to tell you is at Sunday of the show, I always want to mention this whenever I do an interview for this, is that all vets get in free on Sunday.
Yeah.
Hey, awesome.
So, we do that every year at the show, and it's just a great way to say thanks. And there's some really cool stuff there this year, though. I've been doing the show for, I think working the show probably 10 years or so, maybe a little longer than that, but there's some really cool stuff for families as well as kids. But there's a 360 adventure this year, which is really neat. So you're going to strap on a virtual simulator headset, and you're actually going to go on a 4-minute remote flight in the Canadian wilderness.
Oh, wow.
Which is going to be really, really cool. Probably not so cool for a lot of the guys who've been drinking Labatt's all day, but it should be fun.
Yeah, of course. Hey, yeah.
Should be cool. And then we got this. I can't wait to see this. I've been told about it, and I just haven't seen it yet. It's called the Blizzard of Fish. So you're going to step into this box, basically this glass box, and there's going to be all these fish flying around in there. They turn on that big fan, and if you get the big fish in there, you're going to get this awesome prize. They don't even tell me what it is yet, but it's going to be a really cool, they said it's going to be a real crowd favorite thing because kids getting in there, lots of prizes to win. And then Friday night,
Jim, let me interrupt you real quick. That fish thing, is that like when the casinos put you in like a phone booth with the money floating around, only you got money with fish on it or fake, like a Monopoly money with fish on it?
Something like that. That's what I've been told. And I can't wait to watch that. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Those people who go inside those booths, it's crazy time.
I know.
Okay.
And then Friday night is beer night. So you're going to get to sample some Labatt's, which I could live on Labatt. I couldn't live on Labatt's Blue Light, but I do like it. But it's going to there's just so much fun at the Alcano show, and every year we've been seeing more and more families bringing their kids, especially the last 2 or 3 years, and that's been awesome because the kids get all excited. It's just we're really looking forward to coming back to Milwaukee.
Hey Jim, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Do you remember the movie Strange Brew?
Yeah.
About a couple of Canadian guys from the Great White North looking for free
Pilsner?
Beer.
Got any Pilsner? Was the kind of beer that they had there?
Yeah, do you remember the kind of beer that they were after?
I do not.
What was the name of that?
Do you remember it, Sam?
No, Sam, we just talked about this last week.
We were just talking about it last week.
Well, we digress.
Anyway, but okay. That's a great movie, by the way.
So it sounds like now, like that thing where they go in, like Tom knows about that from the gambling because, you know, he's got a lot of, you know, sordid sins in his past. He knows all about this gambling stuff.
What do you mean in my past?
Right. So I have no idea how this works. So they go in and they try and catch the big fish. Now, is this for kids only or adults, or how's it going to work?
I've been told it's for both.
Oh.
Like I said, they didn't show me everything on this because this is going to be pretty exciting for me too because we're going to be doing some television stuff over there.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I may get shoved in the thing. I don't know. So it should be a lot of fun.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, sounds like the
kids can have a great time.
It sounds like the All Canada show is going to be another winner this year.
Now, you've got a myriad of vendors then from all kinds of different resorts that specialize in. Is it primarily fishing? Do you have any hunting stuff going on?
There is going to be some hunting, and usually at the Wisconsin shows is where there's several bear outfitters there, and people from Wisconsin love to bear hunt. That's just how the market seems to be, and I love to bear hunt too. But usually between Milwaukee and Green Bay, there's a lot of hunting there for bear. There's some for waterfowl as well. White-tailed deer, of course, there's a lot. Just about everything that Canada has to offer, you can find in one form or another at the All Canada Show. That's what I usually call it my one-stop shop for everything that is Canada. You're talking to lodge outfitters and owners, some of the guides. So the people in Milwaukee are actually going to be talking to the people who they're going to set up their adventure with. That's what's so cool.
Hey, we talked about it being free on, Sunday, you said, for veterans?
Right.
Okay. And then Tom, of course, here is we're giving some free tickets away to some of the lucky winners. But what is the cost if somebody just shows up and wants to go in and pay for a ticket?
Well, the adults are $12. You can get a weekend pass for $14, and children under 17 are free.
Oh, okay. So that's a great deal.
It is. Yeah.
You can go out. You got some great seminars. You know, you got some great seminars going on there too. I've got them Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We got Tyler Trampy there. I think Chase Parsons is going to be there. There's a lot of cool stuff going on there. Might even be Jim Sarek. It just depends on what avenue. And you can find it on the seminar list. Actually, if you go to allcanada.com, actually, who I think is going to be there, which is really cool, is Jimmy Sarek's going to be there, I think, Saturday. And then I'm going to be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then Tyler Trampy is going to be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well. So, and there's a lot of great seminars from walleye fishing. I'm doing musky fishing. I'm doing one on smallmouth as well as for northern pike. So we're covering just about all the bases.
All right. Well, listen, I'm sure the people are looking forward to it, Jim, and we appreciate you calling in this morning, giving us the lowdown.
Well, sure. I love coming to Wisconsin, and I'm really looking forward to coming to Milwaukee. Come to the All Canada Show. You're going to have a great time.
All right, man.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay, guys. Have a great morning.
You too. Bye now. All right. We got to go to a quick break. So just stay tuned, folks. We're going to hear a lot more here with Danny and Tom and Wes and everybody else that's on the show. I mean, Sam, what did I say? Wes? Who the hell is Wes?
All those concussions, I tell you.
Yeah, we'll be right.
What was the name of that brewery in Strange?
We're going to have Sam look it up again like he did the last time. And there is an I in it.
Eisner.
Elsinore. Hey! We finally remembered it. Elsinore.
We're smart, guys.
Why we're a team.
I knew Danny'd figure it out sooner
or later.
Our next
trick, three of us are going to screw in a light bulb.
We'll be right
back
with
more. Two of us will turn the chair. Yeah. Sam will hold the bulb.
Welcome back, folks. Good to have you with us today. We're having a good time. And you know what time it is now? It's the NFL football picking contest time. And if you tie or beat any one of us three, you're going to win a $10 gift certificate to Curly's Waterfront Pub on Pewaukee Lake. It's definitely well worth trying to win it, which I don't think we've ever had a I think we had one person lose just once earlier in the year. But anyway, okay, we got a caller now. But we're going to be playing the NFL football picking contest. I hope Bushy gets back real quick here. So that we here he is. And we will be playing this game just as soon as – oh, the guy hung up? Okay, 799-1250. Okay, they're back again. Yeah, I mean, just, we did have one loser earlier in the year. Yeah, no, it's where we all bet – yeah, we all picked one thing and the caller picked the opposite. We were all right. He was wrong. And so
that's why I rig it. I always make sure.
They're going to win. Yeah. All right. Who do you got on the line?
Gary in Watertown.
Oh, our good friend Gary in Watertown. How you doing, Gary?
Good. I wish the ice would start forming, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it did for a while.
Yeah, somebody fell in the other day, though, down by Rock Lake.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, they shouldn't have been out. It was a little too warm. Yeah, well, it was cold last night, and it's still cold this morning.
Last year at this time, was there ice this time of year last year? I can't remember.
No, there was nothing hardly until in January.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they talk about climate change. Well, of course, it's changing. Every couple of weeks, it's changing. Right. Anyway, all right. We got the Packers favored by 12.5 against the lowly Detroit Lions. Who do you like, Gary?
Well, I think the Packers are going to do it.
You think they're going to womp them by more than 12.5?
Womp them, stomp them.
Yeah?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right.
Yeah, all right. I'll go with that.
All right. Wes, what do you think? Come on. Why am I calling you Sam? I'm sorry. Sam. Why am I calling him Wes?
Wes is kind of a cool name, though. So, I mean.
Yeah, if you ever go out and meet a chick and you don't want to give her your real name, right. You could. This is Wes.
I'm sorry,
Wesley
Sam.
Schmitz, nice to meet you. I'm gonna go.
Damn,
yeah,
glad to meet you.
I say Packers by two. I just don't see how Detroit puts up any points with their third or fourth string quarterback. So, I'm gonna go Packers by 14.
Yeah, Danny, what do you like?
Packers 31-10.
All right, I'm gonna go with the Detroit Lions not to win, but to cover. All right, so that means you're an automatic winner.
There we
Gary.
Go. There we go. See, we got it set. So we like our winners to win. I mean our listeners.
All right. So you're going to get a chance to get down to Pewaukee Lake sometime this winter?
I don't know. I got a lot of things going on. We always go up to Battle of Bago, and then we go to the pre-battle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so you got a lot of fisheries going on.
Well, if you don't spend the $10, you can always send it to me, and I'll spend it for you.
I've done it last year. We had a lucky table at one day. We won a freezer full of meat.
Cool.
One of
the fisheries, yeah.
I won a five-gallon bucket with a couple things in it, and the guy next to me on the other side won a fishing shanty popover.
Okay. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Lucky table last year.
Yeah, yeah, there's going to be a whole bunch of fisheries out there, Tom. That's what he's talking about.
That's right. All those fisheries.
Starting about mid-January, you got the Pewaukee Walleyes for tomorrow's one of the biggest and greatest. So
yeah, there's going to be a lot.
Can you still swim across that lake?
You could half swim, half ice skate right now.
Yeah, half and half.
There's nobody out there fishing, though.
Was it 2 days ago? There was a guy out by the island, then a squad car pulled by and was stopping from the launch. I'm sure the cop was thinking, what are you doing out there, you knucklehead?
Yeah.
So.
Well, Gary, you stay on the line. We need your address and all that good stuff for me to send this out to you. All right?
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
Happy New Year.
Okay, stay on the line. And one last thing to do. Well, no, after the 7:30 break.
Okay. What are we going to do after the 7:30?
I can't tell you. It's a secret.
Oh, come on.
I can't tell you.
Hey, I saw a giant buck this week.
You did?
Yeah.
Not the dead one.
No, not no. The dead one.
Where'd you see it?
Well,
on the road?
I was, I was up there, and my plan was to take my crossbow and quietly walk the creek.
Yeah.
And which is, I don't know, long ways. It's by the big marsh. So you go along the creek, and there's a marsh there. And I thought that I could possibly walk up on a deer, because I have walked up on deer in that marsh where they'll hunker down and hold tight and hope you walk by. And sure enough, I talked myself out of it. I thought, you know what? I'm going to just take the 22 and see if I can get a big old fox squirrel living along this creek, because there's some walnut trees. And I know there's got to be one wily fox squirrel living there that you never see.
Yeah.
So I'm walking along, and sure enough, I see a deer go running. Then two run straight to me, and I'm wondering, what's going on? Why are these deer running to me? And then I spotted up ahead just the kind of the tops of them, but it looked like a couple of coyotes.
Okay.
And they were working up ahead of me, chasing the deer back. But then, I was still hunting. About 40 minutes later, the wind shifted where the wind was at my back, and then the deer started spooking out ahead of me. And one giant, big white rack buck went running across the marsh.
Yeah.
And it's about 200 yards away, and it ran out across the field right to where the posters would be if we were doing a deer drive.
Yeah.
And then it was followed by another nice 8-point buck and a big doe. And then two other does went back the other way.
They were all over the place.
So then I walk into this high grass. And years ago on a drive, I actually saw like a little cattail sway. And there was no wind that day. And when I saw that blade of grass sway, I looked down below, and there was a deer's head. And this deer is bedded down 10 feet from me, waiting for me to walk by it. And I put the crosshairs on its neck. I could actually shot it right in its bed. But it didn't look real big until I took another step, and this giant doe jumps up.
So no.
I could have shot one right in its bed there. So, and the guy who was with me at the time driving said to me right after that one jumped up, he goes, "Hey, I got a deer standing here looking at me." Well, there's this real high grass. It's about 10 feet high, and they don't like running out of there. They like to stand in there. So sure enough, I go walking through there, and I look to my right, 15 yards away, there's a deer standing, waiting for me to walk by it. I put the crosshairs from the 22 onto its shoulder. Of course, I'm not going to shoot it with the 22, but had I had my crossbow, I could have drilled it.
Yep.
I would have walked right up on a deer and drilled it right in there. Wasn't a real big deer, but it was waiting for me to walk on by.
Man.
Of course, if I'd had the crossbow with, you know what would have happened? I wouldn't have seen any deer.
That's the way it is sometimes, you know?
It's just the Murphy's Law kind of a deal.
I remember when I used to pheasant hunt a lot out by one of my brothers lived out in a part of Menominee Falls to the west end where it was legal if you had permission from the farmer who owned the field back there. And which we did. And one time, you know, I'm walking through it, and this doe pops up, okay, she's laying down in the middle of the farm, you know, the middle of the cornfield. And of course, I just have my, you know, number six shot, number five shot, whatever. So I figure, okay, I'm going to put in a slug.
Okay.
My first shot would be a regular shot for a bird. But if I saw a deer, I could pop that one out.
Oh, good thinking.
And I got the slug next. Never saw a damn deer.
No.
Now, you'll never saw one. I think it was like three more times I went out.
And if you missed the pheasant, you didn't really have
follow-up. I didn't have a second shot. Yeah, it was like, oh, come on. You know, I can't win.
There you go. You outsmarted yourself.
I did. Sometimes we do that. So anyway. So listen, we're going to take this early break. 799-1250 is the phone number. If you got any questions, comments, want to talk about whatever it is. You know, one thing I always like to tell people, Danny, when I tell them about the show, if they haven't heard it, I said, yeah, it's an outdoor show. Yes, it's fishing and hunting, but it's not always fishing and hunting. There's a reason why we invite people to hop on the crazy train. It's not always about fishing and hunting.
Sure.
You know, it's about different things, too.
Talk about lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff in life. And we talk with Wes over here.
Joking.
I was saying that
Fox
one on
squirrels.
Purpose.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go to a quick break.
Wes Schmitz, wealthy landowner from Douglas County. Damn glad to meet you. You could use that.
Yeah, you could use that.
Oh, man, I wish.
Yeah, okay. We'll be right back, folks. Stay tuned for more.
It's been getting so hard living with the things you do to me. so strange. I like to tell you everything I see.
A crazy song.
I love this song.
Oh no!
All right, welcome back. Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Who does this song?
Sweet.
Ooh, sweet.
Yep.
Sweet.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. This is a sweet song. I like this one.
I didn't know the winner of the tickets to the All Canada show was a lady, Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that? That's good. We got the ladies listening to the
Mary's
show.
Mary's a lady's name.
Yeah. And
well, not necessarily. Could be a dude who just feels like Mary
about
today.
About to be 2020. You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
You could. Whatever you feel like, man. Yeah. It's okay.
Well, before I start raking on the DNR, I got two more free tickets to the All Canada show. Be the third caller. We're just going to let Sam pick whatever phone line he wants. It could be the first one, the second, third, fourth. It could be the 40th. I don't know. Whatever Sam wants to pick. But you get two free tickets to the All Canada show.
It's all up to you, Wes. Whatever you want to do.
It's all up to you, Wes. So if you don't win, blame him. Yeah, blame Wes. Blame Wes. You know, I was thinking.
What were you? That was your first mistake.
What do you need? You got the paper over there.
He can handle it.
Let's no, he was looking for the paper, and I'm letting
Why
him know.
You got the paper.
Put
our business out there for everybody.
I'm a wealthy landowner. I can handle it.
You can handle
He's
it.
Got
yeah.
it.
He's wealthy.
Continue. You were thinking.
I was thinking. You know, I thought I'd be a kinder, gentler person in 2020.
Yeah, especially since, you know, you had a heart transplant and everything.
Thank God I didn't have that. Oh, my goodness. That operation, I bet you, takes a while.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought, you know what? Why should I be? I mean, you and I, Danny, we're fortunate that we have a pedestal to talk about whatever we want. And, you know, we have opinions, and we can express our opinions. There's a lot of guys out there that would love to express their opinions on the show.
Is that what this is, a pedestal here?
Yeah.
I'm stuck here on Saturday morning. Yeah. I got to get up at 5 to come to this pedestal.
Yeah, roughly. But
tough
but,
getting up this
but at
morning.
Least we have an outlet for our opinions, okay?
Yeah,
where
a lot
of guys wish they could.
Yeah, that's what the corner of a bar is for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But here, you know, and
the
thing is, and when I... Or what was the name of the... See, I forgot already.
Elsinore,
yes. Anyway, but the thing is that, you know, the DNR is going to do what they want to do, but I just don't understand it. Now, I look at Lake LaBelle.
Yeah.
All right. Now, remember I talked about one time they started a 30-year study?
Yeah.
No, yeah. They started a 10-year study 30-some years ago. If you're going to have a 10-year study, do a 10-year study and then stop the study. You know, I mean, get your results, right?
Right.
All right. Now, what they did was they put that 20-inch size limit on the walleyes. Now, didn't they find something out after that first 10? And haven't they found something out after the last 30-some years?
Nobody could catch a 20-inch walleye.
Yeah. Didn't they figure something out?
As soon as they got to 20, they got bumped out.
So now they started a new study. Ben Heisner, good guy.
I think it's the one fish 28.
28 inches. It's like, well, let's just up it. You know, let's just make it even bigger. Instead
fishery.
Of 20. Instead of, well, are they going to actually get that big?
Well,
will they? I don't know.
Not?
Maybe they'll die off before then.
There's lots of carp and stuff in there.
You never, I mean,
they want them to eat all those carp.
But why weren't the 20 inch seismic, why weren't all those fish that are 16, 17, 18, 19 inch, why weren't they making 20 inches?
Because people were cheating and keeping them in.
Oh, I'm sure there were some, yeah. But still, wouldn't there be a lot more of them being caught? I mean, I told you about Lynn Nicklash. He would keep the records. He's a guide, and he would take people to that lake. And one year, there were over 2,000 walleyes his clients caught, and only one was over 20 inches. One that was just over 20 inches. It's like, shouldn't there have been a few more? There's something else going on there, something else that I have no clue what it might be, but there's something else. And I don't think the DNR is going to figure it out just by upping the size limit and just keep upping it. It's like, well, you take a big Muskego, Bass's Bay. What's going on with the northern pike? We don't know, but let's up the size limit. you know, let's go from 26 inches to 40 inches. And this is why I keep coming back to it, Danny.
Yep.
Slot size.
Yet on the Bay of Green
there you
Bay,
go. Bay of Green
they've
Bay.
They've got unlimited size, 5-pike, and it makes no sense
whatsoever. You know how big pike would get up there? Even if they just
there
had.
There are big pike already. But
there could be a lot more.
They're working on doing all this protecting the spawning habitat. And then the biologist up there, her answer to me was, well, there's not really enough pike up here to really have to protect with regulation anyway.
Well,
what are you talking
would
about
be
there?
If you did They're it right,
you're spending all this money on the spawning habitat. And our friend Randy Reading, he was up there and actually helped and volunteered. He's a good sportsman. He was up there trying to work on that.
I'm like the kid in the class raising his hand.
They want to
make spawning habitat, right? Or they are making spawning habitat for pike, right?
Yeah.
But yet they want people to take any size they want. They don't care about letting them get to spawning size. Why is that? It's kind of like with the 26-inch size limit on pike down here. You want them to spawn, but yet you're telling, oh, no, take all the bigger ones. Put back the little ones, the non-spawners. Take the bigger, the spawners. Why do that?
Well, I don't understand why Pewaukee has more protections on the pike than the Bay of Green Bay does.
Yeah. Exactly.
132-inch fish.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we got a caller. We better take this. Who you got there?
Tom's
Dennis in Boulder Crest.
Oh, you mean in Boulder Junction?
Boulder Junction.
Hey!
Boulder Crest.
Dennis Royce, our Boulder Junction connection.
Boulder
hey, Dennis.
Crested Junction connection.
Yeah. How you doing?
Hey. Good, guys. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Well, yeah, same to you. Yep. Thank you. Did you melt a little bit of snow up there?
We melted some snow, but the snowmobiling is still excellent. We had a lot of snow up here, and people are getting around on the trails. The trail conditions with the warm weather hasn't helped, but they're excellent yet, and they're getting good riding up here. And believe it or not, the lakes are starting to tighten up. That slush and everything on the lakes that I had talked about earlier is absorbing into the snow and freezing. And we're getting pretty decent conditions to get around on the lakes, and ice fishing has been pretty good. We were out last night with my son-in-law, and we picked up some perch and walleyes, and it wasn't real going, but it was action enough to keep us interested. So, but people want to come up and snowmobile, cross-country ski, or even ice fish. Now, I know you don't have much of a winter down there right now. I was just
trying
not to come long ago, and it's all warm down by you, but it's up here, we still got winter.
No, the ice fishermen are not happy campers down here right now. Not much going on, but that could change. That could change next week when we'll have bitter cold weather.
Yeah, you'll get winter back here pretty soon. You had it in November. That's when you had your winter.
Yeah, but it's coming back.
Yeah,
with a vengeance.
Yep, that's for sure.
So,
I want to give you a quick report, and fishing has been pretty good right now. You were talking about northerns earlier. Yeah, we're catching northerns through the ice and walleyes and perch and crappies. So it's a good time of year to be out, and it's fun, and the weather isn't too cold, and it hasn't been too windy. So it's been decent getting out on the lakes.
Well, that's great, and we do appreciate you calling us, keeping us up to date.
That's good. If you want to come up here sometime, we can get a fishing trip ready for you.
Hey, when you're fishing at night for the walleyes, are you fishing after dark?
Yeah, Dan, we are. We're fishing. Really, the peak time normally is from about 3:30, 4 o'clock when the sun hits the top of the trees till about 5:30, and that's always been a good time.
Okay.
This year it's been earlier. I don't know why, but the bite's been earlier, but we still stay out there till at least, I would say 5:30 at the latest, and sometimes longer.
Well, that's what the guys out on Pewaukee that target the walleyes down by me claim, the same exact time frame that last, you know, that just as that sun's going down. So something to that, I guess.
Yeah, I think it is. We call it the bewitching hour, and you get that 1 hour where you get a lot of action. But yet this year we haven't had that happen. It's been earlier, and I don't know why, but maybe it's just the weather pattern.
Huh. All right. Well, keep us posted, right, Dennis.
Yeah, thank you, Dennis. We appreciate it.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye now. Well, it's time for another break. How about that? We got one more segment coming up.
One segment to go?
Yeah, and you know what? And
we're flying.
And I'm glad we had the call from Dennis. We have to take that, of course. But, you know, it's like the DNR talks about wanting to protect pike and other fish for spawning, but yet they don't like have the proper sizes or whatever, or like slots or whatever. They it seems like they say they want to protect them, but then they don't. You know what I mean?
I think you can't make a blanket judgment there.
No,
we're talking about a few isolated places.
That's true.
Because right now, they did a great job of implementing the regulations on Pewaukee.
Yes, they did. I agree.
Protected the pike and the walleye. So they're doing good things there. But like where you're talking about maybe LaBelle and then maybe Bay of Green Bay pike, there are some head scratchers where you kind of look at it.
And I don't mean to pick on the DNR. It's just that
You love picking on the DNR.
No, I don't.
You look 10 years younger than at the beginning of the show. You're so fired up now. You got the adrenaline going. You're happy.
No. I just think there's some things that maybe they could just give a little bit more thought to. Maybe they have, and maybe there's only so much they could do. But still, there's got to be some other ways on some of these projects, on some of them. Anyway, we got to go to a break. One more break. 799-1250 is the phone number. You can also email us at CEOguys@yahoo.com. We'll be right back with more.
It's the final countdown. The final countdown.
Okay. Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, thanks to all our friends and folks out there listening. Once again, we tip our hat to our law enforcement officers out there keeping us safe. And everybody else out there listening, we appreciate it. And Tom, I got something in the mail this week.
Yeah?
And I was very happy. I told you that I re-up my NRA membership early, right?
Okay.
I fell for one of those early renewal offers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Although, I think I'm worried because I read part of it where it says your membership starts when you get it. So I think if I had a couple months left on the old one, I don't know if they add it on to your old one. They start a new one for you.
Right.
And here's the frustrating thing is, you know, I'll get 10 more renewal notices right after I renew, and you don't have any idea when you expire. It never says you expire such and such.
Yeah.
But I did get the free hat.
You got a hat.
I'm very happy I got my hat. Because one time I had to call them up and go, hey, what about my hat?
Hey. How about a little something for the effort?
Hey, something for Dan Dan here. I want that hat. I got the NRA hat. I'm eagerly looking forward to marching up and down the streets of Milwaukee when the Democratic convention's going on and seeing if I can get some tree huggers to attack me wearing my NRA hat.
It's
going to be interesting when when they come to town here.
Yeah.
And I wonder what's going to happen there. So
where the heck?
Well, now what are you shuffling for?
I'm looking for something.
Okay. Why don't we just keep complaining about the DNR?
I'm going to do
You're
something
kind of on
for
a
you.
Roll there. How about that North Lake launch, Tom?
When
are we going to get that launch there?
No, that's another thing about Lake LaBelle, and it's going to happen, folks. You know, I've been telling people that the DNR needs to purchase some land and put a DNR launch out there because there is no launch. I mean, there's a launch, but there's no parking.
So you predicted it, Master Thomas.
And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And, you know, here's a big lake, right?
Big lake.
With lots of fish in it.
Not
just walleyes. There's all kinds of fish in it.
Yeah.
How many people actually fish it? Not that many, just because of the fact that where are you going to park? You got to park on the street somewhere 6 blocks away. You know, I mean, it's terrible.
Gnarly old timers don't care about that, Tom. They just want the fish to themselves.
Well, the people who live on the lake, of course, and let's face it, though, most people who live on lakes don't fish. Honestly, I see that a lot.
You know what? You're right. How many people who live on a lake, how often do you really see kids sitting on the pier fishing?
No, I'd never see it.
No, you see them kind of waxing the jet ski.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it. But hey, I got something for you that
okay. What do you got?
You might like.
Okay.
Do you remember, Caddyshack?
Yeah.
And you remember when Bill Murray goes up to that young fella with the pitchfork in his throat? Did you know that was all impromptu? That was not in the script. He just started yakking. But you remember that part, right?
No, I don't remember that part. Let where me he put a pitchfork in someone's throat?
Yeah, because he was explaining something. So let me jog your memory.
Okay, here we go.
This is what Bill Murray was saying to the kid.
Okay, go.
So I jump the bus in Hayward, and I make my way over to Herman's Landing, and I hire on as a stick on the Chippewa flowage. You know, a stick, a guide, a muskie guide. So I tell him I'm a pro muskie guide, and who do you think they give me? The Al Linder himself, the second son of the Chicago Linders, the flowing flannel shirt, the sunglasses, the beard. Striking. I'm at the first spot with him, a weed point. I give him the baitcaster with a bucktail. He hauls off and lets one fly. Power caster, the Linder. Long, into a 50-foot pine tree on the edge of an old Indian burial ground. Do you know what the Linder says? Gunga Lagunga. Gunga Lagunga. So I'm thinking this must be Minnesotian for, oh, shoot, or something to that effect. So we finish the 8 hours, and he's going to stiff me, and I say, hey, Linder, how about a little something for the effort, you know? And he says, there won't be any money, but on your deathbed, I will come to you in a vision, and you will receive total fishing consciousness. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's the Dalai Lama. That was the scene with the Dalai Lama.
Yeah, that's right, but it was the Linder instead.
The Linder. Oh, the Linder. Okay, now I remember that.
Yeah, instead of the Dalai Lama, he took out the Linder.
Very good. we'll have to get back to our jokes. Remember when John used to tell jokes on the show?
Oh, God, it was so funny. They were so bad, they were funny.
John was the worst joke teller ever.
Yeah, and he'd see them on the internet. Then he'd try to repeat them.
And he'd mix them up for sure.
He'd screw them up so bad.
You can't mix up a joke. You got to have it just right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And then, of course, Sam, they would always tease me because I would make some, like, you know, just a little one-liner. I would laugh at it, and they wouldn't. And they would accuse me of always laughing at my jokes,
but
nobody
else's.
He laughs
at his own jokes.
It's well, if they're funny,
hard,
you know,
hard,
I'll tell you
ho,
what,
ho,
hey,
ho.
Honest to God, I'm not joking. Just this past week, I'm in the living room, and I start laughing. My wife says, what are you laughing at? I says, I told myself a joke. I swear to God. And then she just looks at me, shakes her head, realizes that she's living with an idiot, you know.
So, I'll tell you when I laughed this week. You know, Louie's son-in-law, Waka, is back with Sarah
for Christmas,
and daughter, Tahi. And anyway, there's all kinds of hustle and bustle because they're loading up the car Christmas Day to go over to their son, Mark's.
Okay
Louie's son, Mark, right? All this hustle and bustle. So, I see Waka, and he doesn't really have much time to talk, and they're running in and out. Come grab this. Up and down the stairs, and finally, when the car's loaded, I happen to be by my truck. Waka kind of sighs, and he goes, okay, everybody set? Nobody having a crisis? Everybody's good, right? And he looks at me and rolls his eyes and gets in a driver's seat and drives away, and I just die laughing. I'm just laughing. I mean, he's got the three women he's trying to corral and get this, do that, and finally when they're all seated in the car, he's like, okay, nobody having a crisis?
And then rolling his eyes.
And you know, Waka's so easygoing. He's like
mellow.
He's like the mellow laying in the hammock. Don't worry, man. Yeah. Take it easy. And he's got all these type A. Got to get this. Got to do this. Grab this. Grab the cake. Bring this down. Grab that. Bring this in the car. Don't forget. Tahi, you sit here. Yeah.
Well,
it's funny.
You know, when at family gatherings, when it's bigger than just our family, you know, then it's my brothers, their wives, their kids, and their kids' kids, and all that stuff, right? Whenever we're leaving, and it doesn't matter if it's me and my wife leaving or if it's one of my brothers and his wife leaving or whoever, there's always the goodbye tour. And I know people listening know exactly what I'm talking
about. What's the goodbye tour?
The goodbye tour is, well, they got to hug and kiss. They got to say goodbye to every damn person that's there. There could be the good. You're standing there with your coat on, ready to leave, and it's a half hour later because they're on their goodbye tour. And they all do it.
I hate it. The only one I hated as a kid, my grandma from my mom's side, she'd give me these
big, wet, sloppy kisses on the cheek.
Oh.
Ugh, it was gross, man. Yeah. Ugh. I'd turn my head as far as I could, you know. You know how, like, when a guy gives another guy the man hug, you kind of turn your head?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I gave her the man hug, and I'd about dislocate, break my neck trying to turn my head away from that kiss. Ugh. Yeah.
Well.
Still traumatized. I have nightmares of old ladies coming after me, chasing me down dark alleys, trying to kiss me on the cheek.
Oh, God. Or sometimes they would pinch you on the cheek, you know. Did you have a pincher?
Yeah, my grandma, she kind of did both when I was a kid.
Pinching?
Yeah.
I never had no pinchers in our family.
I kiss my grandkids on the cheek. Ew. Sometimes I slap them on the rear end.
Yeah, that'd be okay. Yeah, they could give me a swat on the rear.
The little boy, he'll give me a fist bump.
You know, nothing's wrong with just a hug.
I just give them the Indian head.
I know.
I just give them a noogie. I rub their head.
Yeah, there
I give
you go.
Like a knuckles on the head.
Yeah.
That's a term of endearment, knuckles. Right? Yeah. When I give them a Indian, why'd they call that Indian head rub my dad used to call it?
What the heck? I've never heard that.
Is that racist? My dad used to grab me, put me in a headlock, and rub my head with his knuckles.
No.
Well,
yeah,
nowadays, Danny, that's all I
be
got
calling Child
for this
Protective
week.
Services there. Yeah, that's all I got.
We'll be back in a new week.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to Skibberbuds, Cutting Edge Outdoors. Talk to you next year, my friends.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.